Everybody excited about today? It's going to be an awesome day. Yeah, yeah. Let me just, first of all, let me give a shout out before we do anything else. And I just want to say what an honor it is to have our chaplain from U.S. Army military, Dasha Samaratna. Dasha, would you stand up and just let everybody see who you are? This guy is the man right here. And he is with us today as he's passing through, coming from Texas to Fayetteville to Fort Bragg as he's being restationed there. And he has been all over the world and back. He is a member of Cross Point. His picture, you'll see it up here on the wall over here. It's the wall. It's the good wall. It's not the post office wall. It's the good wall. It's the church wall, okay? And you'll see also shots of him where he flew a flag in Afghanistan on 9/11 in honor of this church. And he's just a faithful member of this church, and I so appreciate him. And just want to just say it's an honor to be here, to have you here with us. And let me also with that say how much I appreciate all those that are serving. We have those that are currently serving even now. With us, Craig and Cody, that are serving, and I want to just say, at this Christmas time, there are many people right now that are not home, that are not here in America, but are actually away from their families, serving this country, so that you and I can celebrate the freedoms that we have as a nation. Come on, freedom is not free; it costs and it's sacrificial. And I just want to take a moment right now just to thank all those at this Christmas season for their service for this country. God bless you all, and God bless America. Amen. So thankful and grateful for every one of you that serve and have served. Let me also just highlight one little thing before we get into our series this morning, and that is our candlelight service this evening. You heard about it, but I just want to kind of underline it and say you do not want to miss it. We're expecting a great crowd. We've handed out thousands of invite cards through our neighborhoods. A newsletter went out into this neighborhood, inviting the neighborhood to show up. We're expecting a good crowd. We're going to be putting out some extra chairs. That's always a good thing. I like saying that. Put out extra chairs. And it's going to begin. Now, the service is going to begin promptly at 6 o'clock. I mean, it's like a time bomb going off, man, at 6 o'clock. Boom, we're going to start at 6 o'clock. It's going to be 1 hour service, boom, 7 o'clock, it's over. And so it's an hour power, okay? Power of an hour of power. So you just don't want to miss it. Be here. Also want to encourage you, because we're expecting different people to be here and some guests from our community, from our city to come, I want to encourage those of you especially that call this place home. Listen, when company's coming, you want to be ready, right? So I want to encourage you to come early. Actually, we're having hot apple cider, hot chocolate, Christmas cookies. There's been some bacon going on, and that's all going to happen beginning at 5:30. And so we've announced that as well, that refreshments will be before and after the service. And so we want to encourage you to come so that we've got some people here to welcome people when they arrive. So be sure and come, and it's going to be an awesome time. Special music plan. We got some prizes in the works. It's going to just take the roof off. It's just going to be an awesome time. We're going to have communion. We're going to have candlelighting that's happening. We're going to have luminaries set out here outside. I just can't emphasize enough. Just want to get the whole picture, okay? Everybody picture this? So that's tonight. Everybody say, tonight is the night. All right. So be sure and invite people to come. Invite your neighbors, invite your friends, invite your family to come. And we're just going to glorify Jesus tonight. And we're also going to believe that lives are going to be changed forever, right? And so I want to jump into the series today. We're in a three-part series. This is the third installment of the series that we've entitled Fear Not. And the reason for this title is that in the Christmas story, we see an angel appear on three different occasions in three different settings. And each time, the first words that this angel would speak were the words, help me out, everybody. Fear not. And so we are looking at what this means for us and how it communicates a message to us. The first week we looked at how the angel came and spoke to Mary. And Mary helped Mary overcome this fear of, what is God asking me to do? And sometimes we're kind of afraid of what it means if I surrender to God, and what will that mean, and what will I have to give up? Let me tell you, whatever your plan is, God's plan is better. That's what Mary discovered as she overcame this fear of fearing what God was calling her to do or to believe him for. And so then that last week, we actually looked at how the angel then came to Joseph and with this announcement of this instructions of fear not. And the message there was that Joseph had to come to understand what it meant to overcome the fear of what people think about him. You know, and oftentimes we're paralyzed by this fear of what are people going to say? What are people going to, because he was stepping into something that was way bigger than himself, but he also was concerned about what will people around him say and his reputation that do not understand what God is calling him to do. But I want to tell you, God is able to deliver you from the fear of worrying about what people think. We talked about all that last week. And any of these messages, you can go online to crosspointworshipcenter.com, pull these up. They're archived there. You can listen to those. You can also download message notes catch up with us if you missed those first two installments. Well, today we're looking at a third appearance of an angel. And this appearance is very special and just speaks volumes to us. And it's where the shepherds were in the field tending their flock by night. You know the story. Anybody that's watched Charlie Brown Christmas, you know the story, and you know the gospel account from Luke where they went and they were there tending their flocks, and suddenly there appeared from a heavenly host of angels to them with this great announcement. And the first words that came to them was this announcement of fear not. And what we're going to learn today is how to overcome the fear of being afraid of where you might be standing with God. Where we are standing with God. And many people have this fear of, where do I stand with God? How am I doing with him? And for those of us that believe in God or believe there's more to this life, oftentimes we're plagued with this fear of, where do I stand with God? Am I good enough? And oftentimes we compare ourselves to other people and we say, well, they seem to have it all together and they seem to be living right and doing right, and I just can't seem to get my act together, and I don't know what that means, and I don't know what my position with God is, and so there's this fear of, where do I stand with God? You know, when we lay our head down on our pillow at night, are we okay? Is everything settled? Do we know everything is right between us and God? Now, there is a Christian comedian. Some of you may have heard of this guy by the name of Tim Hawkins. And one of his little takeoffs in his little comedic routine is that he brings out this setting of this child going to bed, laying his head down at the pillow at night, and the mommy comes in to pray this little prayer with him of going to sleep. And y'all may know this prayer, but it's a little bit, as he describes it, it's a little bit freaky. It's a little bit freaky. And so, in fact, I'm going to just kind of go through this prayer, and I want you to just raise your hands when I get to the freaky part, okay? Remember, the freaky part, just raise your hand and let me know when it gets freaky, okay? So the mom comes in to the child and says, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." I mean, think about that. In this child, I may die tonight. You know, I got this fear. What will happen if I die? Lord, I pray that I qualify. I pray that I'm in right standing with you. I pray, Lord, and then you wake up the next morning. Whew, I'm still here, you know, and the mom said, "Good night, sweet dreams, you know, you know, tuck you in and hope you sleep well tonight. You may die tonight." I mean, why plant that little seed in the child's mind that when he goes to sleep, you may not make it through tonight, and if you do, we just pray the Lord just take you home. I mean, but really, so maybe some of this fear has been planted in our minds from a very young age, but I remember growing up in church, and I was always in this environment of church, grew up in it, and I always had this thing in my mind of, I knew that, I always heard this, not one sin can enter heaven, not one sin. And so I had this fear growing up, oh Lord, there may be a sin out there that I've done that I don't even know about, I'm not even aware of. So I would always be trying to cover myself, you know, Lord, Okay, please forgive me of all my sins, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, help me to be pleasing in your sight and do your will, Lord Jesus. And if there's anything I have forgotten about, God, if there's anything I just don't know about, Lord, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I heard one guy that was praying as a child, and he was obsessed with this. I need to be sure and make sure everything's covered. And so he would go to bed at night, and he'd fall asleep praying, Lord, just forgive me of anything. And sometimes he would fall asleep without saying amen. And he thought, well, that's kind of impolite not to say amen. So he was like, oh, no, I didn't say amen. He may be mad at me. Oh, no. And so he would go through the next day saying amen, 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 amen. God, I'm just going to store up some amens. If I ever fall asleep again and forget my amens, I'm going to store up some amen, 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 amen. And he said, God, just go. And he said he had a bank of amens stored up in heaven, you know, so that when he needed them. And in fact, he said, if anybody needed to draw on those, just borrow some amens of his, you know. I mean, I know this kind of sounds weird, but the fact is, sometimes we are obsessed with this fear that if we don't measure up or we're not doing things just right, how does that play out with God? We even talk about, we have people that measure things on scale. Well, I'm good, and I do some good things and I'm bad things. As long as my good things outweigh the bad things, then I'll be okay. Well, I want to look at this today at some of these ideas we have and some of our thought processes, and I just want to bring some clarity, some truth to this. And I believe today's message is going to be a game changer as we look at this and overcome this fear and understand what it means to really be in right standing with God. And so I want us to look at this message. It's found here in Luke. It's there. We have message notes there in your worship guide. We'll also throw up here on the screen. But let's just go to this story, and let's look at the shepherds, because we're going to identify with a lot of things that the shepherds were feeling, I believe, as well. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terrified. And then it says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. King James Version says, fear not. So do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And so the message is, do not be afraid. And so the message here also is saying this, that a Savior has been born. And why is this good news today? So you might be saying, I need a Savior. I need a Savior from what? What do I need a Savior from? And we're going to talk about that today as well. But notice this setting here, if you will, for just a moment. That is that there was this announcement of this birth. Now, in those days, announcements, especially of a firstborn, was of extreme importance. Oftentimes, if you had enough money, you would actually hire and pay for somebody that would go out and herald the news of the newborn, especially, again, if it was a firstborn. It was very important. It said that the family name was going to be passed on. And so there would be this great announcement of this birth. And this first announcement of the Messiah, you would think, you know, God is going to announce the birth of his son. He would chosen, you know, I mean, maybe some kings. I'm thinking, you know, some royalty, maybe some religious leaders, some scribes, some Pharisees, some Sadducees. But instead, God chose shepherds to announce this birth. And you got to get this. You say, well, I know that. I have a manger scene. I see the shepherds in my little manger scene. We know shepherds were there. But what we do need to understand is that shepherds in those days were the lowest ranking member of society. They had the embarrassing, smelly, stinky, dirty job. It was the job not that the firstborn would take. If you had a son, it would be the youngest son, the least son, that would go out and tend the flocks and take care of them. Oftentimes, it was regulated to slaves. It was those that were uneducated, that in their career, there was no hope for advancement. In their culture, shepherds were a religious outcast. They were considered failures and an outcast, somebody that did not measure up. No matter how hard they tried, no matter how hard they tried to obtain, they did not measure up. They were considered outcasts. They were considered clean in those days. And so there they were in this kind of a setting. They had this kind of a job profile, if you will, over them. And here they were sitting there with probably a constant fear that I don't measure up to the religious rites of the day. I don't measure up to their standards. And here I am, a lowly shepherd with probably low self-esteem. And there may have been this constant fear of, where do I stand with God? And there was this distance. There was this distance. I mean, they were outcast. They weren't accepted into the temple. They had to just keep to themselves. They were segregated part of society. So there was a distance they felt between them and God. And I want to give you three reasons why the shepherds felt distant from God. Number one, and you can write this down if you're taking notes, and that is that they felt unworthy. They felt unworthy. Again, they were outcast in Israel. They were taught that they were not good enough for God. They were not good enough to measure up to the religion of that day. They were nomads. They were wanderers on the road. For weeks at a time they may go, and maybe even months at a time, they would be away from a family out in the field. You know, you can think of this in today's society, maybe like a trucker is on the road for a long period of time and doesn't able to come home because he's on the road. Oftentimes it would be that kind of a job that it meant this for these shepherds. And here they were away. And so their work made them ceremonially unclean from the temple. For weeks they would have to stay away from the temple, couldn't get near the temple. And so so a religious person wouldn't want to touch a shepherd, wouldn't want to come close to a shepherd because they were considered unclean. I mean, just imagine, if you were hanging out with sheep all day, you'd probably smell like a sheep, right? And so here they were, you know, just dirty, out in the field, very unclean. There were no truck stops where they could go in and take a shower, right? Just trying to connect with y'all to this story, right? And so here they were. And so as we try to connect this story, it may be for us that at times in our life, we look around and look at the religious world, and we look at the church, and we look at things, and we think, well, I don't measure up, and I'm not worthy, and I'm inadequate, and there's things that, in fact, sometimes we come to church and we think, well, as we're worshiping, oh God, look, think of what I did this week. Oh God, I can't even engage you right now. I can't even enter in. And there's things that I didn't do, and there's things that I should have done, and there's things I shouldn't have done. And we look at ourselves and we begin to evaluate ourselves. And then we look at everyone at church that are worshiping and they got, you know, nice clothes on and they look good and I got a blue sweater on and Dwayne's got a red sweater on and they look Christmassy and I didn't have time to hardly throw anything on this morning and somebody, you look over somebody and their kids are lined up like little ducks in a row. That would not be my kids, but anyhow. And then you're thinking, I almost killed my kids on the way to church this morning. If my arm had been just a little bit longer, I'd have, you know, I mean, and straighten up, shut up, and fly right, because we're going to church to worship Jesus this morning. Come on, I mean, you know, when we're fussing all the way here, and then we get in, and we say, hallelujah, glory to God, you know. And we're thinking, I'm wore out, my heart's beating hard just trying to get here. Am I connecting with anybody? Maybe that's just my house. Okay. But there's times we just feel unworthy. We look around. I mean, have you ever just looked around, and it felt like everybody's got it together but me? I mean, they just look good, they speak good, they know the language, they speak Christianese. You know what Christianese is? You know, we've tried to kind of eliminate that because for some people it's kind of weird. Bless you. You know, I mean, we do this kind of, hey, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, glory be to God, bless you, hallelujah. And and somebody wants to go, huh? I just walked out of the truck stop. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I mean, so I love truckers. I'm not trying to pick on truckers. I'm just trying to connect here. All right, so we got truckers in this church. But here's the thing. Sometimes we just feel just unworthy. Let me give you another reason why they felt distant from God, and that is that they felt inadequate. Most likely they were uneducated, and they felt like they were inadequate in regard to society, and they were just inadequate. Do you ever feel inadequate? Come on. You ever feel inadequate socially? You ever feel like, you know, you go visit somebody at their house, and I mean, it smells like lemon tree. You know, it smells like, I mean, it looks, and the floors shine, and there's dust nowhere. Probably there's no kids there either. But anyhow, I'm just saying. And so you walk in the house, and everything is as it should be, and you're thinking, I ain't inviting these people over to my house. If y'all notice, y'all haven't been over to my house lately, we're too busy. I'm just saying, we're too busy with life. And in fact, this year, just to let you in a little secret, this year we went to my brother-in-law's house. Things are different this year because both of my in-laws have passed away within the last year. And so rather than go to Mama and Papa's house, we're now going to Uncle Steve's house or Aunt Kim's house. And so for Thanksgiving this year, guess what? Uncle Steve hosted the Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. So guess who gets the Christmas hosting time? We do. Guess what I've been doing the last couple of days? Hanging pictures over pieces of wall that you don't have time to paint. So let's just hang a picture there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you'll think I'm making that up. I'm not making it up. My wife's not in here. Don't tell her I told y'all that, all right? She's in the nursery. But really, there's times where we just feel just unworthy, and we also feel inadequate. I mean, we don't even want to post on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, Instagram, whatever you put that on. We don't even want to put a picture of our tree because, you know, there's some trees that are Christmas trees, y'all. There's some trees that are, you look at them and you say, ooh. And there's other trees you look at and you say, ooh. You know, some of them look like they came out of Belk department store. Others, you know, they're just fun. Ours is one of those, okay? We have this one's broke. Can't use that one this year. Let's find one that's not. And we just have it kind of a historic tree. Anybody got a historic tree? You just kind of, I was like in panic. Where's our first Christmas together in 1986? I got to find that one. Tanner, help me find that one. And so it's just kind of all, in fact, just to be perfectly honest with you, if you want to talk about being inadequate, I got the tree up. Okay, I got the tree. It's a live tree. We went and got a tree. Put it up. I didn't have time to put the lights on. For those of you that don't know, I'm a bivocational pastor. I work for the post office, and I signed up to deliver letters, letter carrier, but some of you don't understand, and I've turned into UPS. I'm now the parcel carrier, and I wish you guys would go to the store. Buy your stuff at the store. Quit shopping online. I have no... I can show you a picture of my vehicle at the post office. I had no room to hardly sit in the thing from the parcels. I'm just saying, y'all. But here, look, guys, here we are. You know, I don't have time. So I got the tree up. I put some water in it next day. Anyway, Tanner, Mr. Initiative lately, I'm just so proud of him. He put the lights on the tree. And I always put the lights on the tree. I said, thank you, Tanner. Now all I got to do is put the ornaments on the tree. Well, after several days passed, I walked in the room and looked. And there were ornaments on the tree. And Tanner stepped up. I'm so proud of my 14-year-old Tanner. He decorated the tree this year. And I just had to make sure the first Christmas ornament was on there. But anyway, but sometimes we just feel inadequate. And sometimes we feel spiritually inadequate. You know, everybody just on their game. And you were praying, God, just help me to survive the in-laws. Just God, don't let there be a fight. Let us get through without the drama. God, just help me to get through it. So the shepherds were this way. They felt inadequate. They could not measure up spiritually. They were inadequate. They could not keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy because they were out working in the field. They were violating the laws that were in place. We're going to talk about the law in just a moment. And the third thing I want us to see is that they felt unloved. 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 They were known as thieves. They were not trusted. They were not allowed to testify. Shepherds were not in legal cases. Parents didn't want their daughters to marry a shepherd. Come on, you know that song. Don't let your baby grow up, and don't let your daughter grow up and marry cowboys. Y'all don't know that one anyway. It's a country one. Y'all don't know that one. Y'all are more sophisticated than that. But that was kind of that kind of thing. Lord, don't let them grow up to be a wife of a shepherd. And so they felt unloved, unaccepted. And it may be for you here today because of whatever setting you come from that you feel unloved. It may be a dad that left the home, left you with just you and your mom to do life together, and dad deserted you. And you say, well, why did he leave? Was it me? Was it my fault? Why did he not love me enough to stay with me? It may be that there's very deep stuff. In fact, this time of year is a season that things really come to the surface. It's one thing to deal with it all year long, but it seems to culminate. They say there's more suicides this time of year than all the rest of the year put together because it just kind of gets highlighted this time of year. But as that stuff is in the surface, I want us to discover some things today. If you're here today and you feel just unloved and rejected, understand God's got a message for you today of hope. Here were the shepherds. They needed some hope. They felt rejected, that God didn't accept them. The religious crowd, they were considered an outcast. And so oftentimes, though, here's what I wanted to see. Oftentimes, the religious crowd focuses on the external. But Jesus sees the heart. He sees where you are and who you are on the inside. There may be some people here today feel unloved and inadequate and unworthy, but understand that God loves us with an eternal love that is beyond what we could ever begin to comprehend. You may feel very alone this season, very alone, and you look at everybody else that seems to have all kind of just everything working for them. And you feel isolated even in a crowd. I got some good news to bring to you today. Some good news, and that is today born in the city of David is a Savior. A Savior has been born. And so the good news is this. Look with me, if you would, in Romans. We're going to take it into Romans chapter 3 for just a moment. Because I want to kind of explain some things that I think is really going to help us. Romans chapter 3 says this. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Read that again. For no one can ever be right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. I want us to learn a principle here that's very valuable. I think it's going to help us. Number one is this. You cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. You cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. In those days, when those shepherds were living, the Pharisees, listen, tried to get people to follow. Get this: there were 613 laws, and we think, oh, well, we got 10 commandments and we can't keep those. Okay, they added to that. There was 613 laws. Could you imagine trying to keep the law? You couldn't. And by the way, even the religious crowd didn't keep them either. And so there was this trying, this striving to keep the law. But understand this. Romans chapter 3 verse 20 says this. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. So you can't earn God's acceptance by observing the law. So you can't do enough good things to accept God's favor. You can't stop doing wrong things to keep him from getting. It's not what you're doing or not doing that gives you God's favor on your life that causes him to accept us. He doesn't accept us based on who we are. He bases his love on who he is. He is love, and that's what he gives freely to us. That's not based on merit. That's not based on anything we do or do not do. It is not based on the law. It's based upon him. In fact, that's why Jesus came. Jesus Christ came, he said, not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And Jesus is the only perfect one that's ever lived. And he is the one that took care of the law for us and fulfilled the law in our place. So understand, you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. You can't be pretty enough. You can't get your hair just right enough. You can't get your home just smelling just right enough. You can't just walk the walk. You can't just all just talk the talk and try to live it and look the part. That's not what gets you in acceptance with God. It's not by you fulfilling the law or 613 laws. So you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. But so then why the law is the question. Then why the law? Point number two is this. The purpose of the law is to show you that your need for a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to show you, you can't keep it. No matter how good you are, no matter how much you try to measure up, you can't do it. It's not in lining up and somebody else saying, yeah, okay, now you've done enough good things and you fit in. Now you look the part, you're talking the part, now you're one of us. No. Listen, at best, we're all a mess, right? On our best of days, when our hair's right, when we look good, when we smell good, come on. When we're strutting and we got it going on, you're still a mess, right? Because there's nothing that we can do in our own righteousness to attain God's acceptance. But the purpose of the law is to show you that even as good as you try, you can't measure up, you can't fulfill the law. So the purpose of the law is to show you your need for a Savior. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we really are. I got to ask a question. Has anybody here ever told a lie? Anybody ever in your whole life told a lie? All right. Now don't be lying. Okay, look at the person beside you. You're lying. I know last week you weren't completely true, you know. And so what does the Bible say? If you lie, you are a liar. I know you don't like that. I'm going to make it real uncomfortable, you know. Okay, and then here's another question. I don't know if we should raise our hands on this one. Have you ever looked at another person lustfully before? You don't even have to raise your hand for that because we know you're all guilty. Okay, I'm just saying. So Jesus said, if you look upon another person and lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So you're an adulterer. We're adulterers. We're liars and adulterers. Anybody ever stolen anything? Anyway, what I'm trying to say here is that you're a bunch of lying, thief, adulterous. Welcome to Cross Point, everybody. Welcome to Cross Point. We're glad to hear. Hope you're making yourself right at home. I just want you to know you didn't walk into a church this morning where everybody's got it all together, and you walk into that big religious crowd and they got the halos on there and they're going to bump themselves going out the door. Because I want to tell you, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. I say thanks for the hope. Merry Christmas to you, Pastor. Appreciate it. Good visiting with you today. I'll never be back in this house again. I'm just saying. But here's the point. Until you see yourself as a sinner, you won't see your need for a Savior. Are you hearing me? You see, you don't need religion. You need Christ. You don't need religion. You need a relationship. You need a Savior. We all need a Savior. And that's the good news, everybody. The Bible says that he, now in the city of David, there is born to you and to me, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, praise. Which is good news to all, to whoever will, to the shepherds who felt unloved and inadequate and unworthy, and yet God came specifically to the lowest part of what society thought was the lowest part and said, I'm going to use you to be the announcers of the birth of my child because I value you. Isn't that awesome? I want to tell you, God sees value and worth in you. He loves you. He loves me. He cares about you. And you're not inadequate and unworthy and unloved. You are of great value. Because God sent his best from heaven to die on the cross for you and I so that we can forevermore enjoy life and life eternal. Come on, everybody. That's good news. Excuse me for getting a little bit happy about that. Because I know I'm a sinner, but I know that I have a Savior who has covered my sins by me believing upon him as my Lord and as my Savior. So the purpose of the law is to show you your need of a Savior. Let me give you a third point. And that is this, that righteousness with God comes by faith in Christ alone. By faith in Christ alone. It's not by doing. And by the way, God doesn't just come to take bad people and make them good people. Now that happens in the process. But God comes to take dead people and make them alive. Because the Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses. Well, that's kind of harsh, Pastor. Dead. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm living. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you are separated from a living God who himself is life, you have been now separated from life, and so you're not experiencing life, you're experiencing death. The absence of God is death. The absence of light is darkness. And so though you're existing, you're not living, you're not truly living. But when you come to Christ, Christ offers something called life, called life. I mean, think about it. Kim sent me something this week I thought was really good, my wife, and she sent me this little thing, and in fact, I may use it tonight in our candlelight service, and that is, what is Christmas really about? We see lights, we see trees, Christmas trees, and we see gifts, but that's all about Jesus. Jesus is the light. He came to die on the tree, and he came to offer us the gift of life, and that's really what this thing is. It is all about. It's all about. It's by accepting his free gift. So the message is, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I got you covered. I got you covered. I heard of a guy that was in a particular church who, this particular church, the ministers wore robes. I wear sweaters. Okay, all right. This church happened to wear robes, and if you were ordained, you got a real fancy robe. Had stripes on it. I mean, it let them know you're ordained. You made the grade, and you qualify to wear this fancy robe. Now, there were other ministers on the platform at this particular church. They had robes as well, but they did not have the credentials. They were not ordained, and so their robe looked more like a nasty, smelly, old choir robe that was kind of taken out of a back closet somewhere. And so I heard the story of this minister who was on the platform, and he had one of those smelly robes. He was filling the role of minister, but he wasn't ordained yet. And so in the service, the minister that was ordained was speaking, and on the notice that he didn't realize he was going to call him to do this. He said, stand up. And he asked him, he said, what do you think about your robe? And he said, I mean, is it a good looking robe? And then the minister said, now be honest. And he said, no, it's not a good looking robe. And he said, I want to do something for you. And he took the minister that was ordained took his robe off, the beautiful robe with the stripes, with the credentials that said he's qualified. And he went and he placed that over this other guy who had a lesser impressive robe. And he covered him with that robe. And he said, that's what Jesus does for us. In fact, he takes upon himself. The cross is called the Great Exchange. You cannot talk about Christmas without talking about what Jesus came to do. He went to the cross for us. And he took, that place is called the Great Exchange, where he took upon himself our filthy rags and gave us his robe of righteousness, so that we are now in right standing with him. With him. And then he went a step further than that. Not only did he die on the cross, but he rose again from the dead, promising us life, not only here, but life eternal. I want to tell you, that's the Christmas message, everybody. Jesus came. And God, we're going to get a lot of gifts this Christmas. I've already seen them. They're coming. They're coming. They're in the mail. They're coming, all right? A lot of gifts this time of year, all right? But listen, the greatest gift is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? I just want to speak to you for just a second and just say there may be those that are just feel inadequate, unloved, unworthy, and you've walked in this place and say, man, this is not my gig. You know, I'm here, but, you know, I'm just kind of going with what I'm supposed to do today. But I believe that God brought you here for a purpose and for a reason. And that is to communicate his love for you. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to speak the language like people are speaking around in Christian circles. God knows who you are and where you are. He cares about you beyond what you could ever imagine. And get this, he also has a plan for your life so much far better than you could devise for your own self. And he offers that to you today. Today, what I would like to do is give you an opportunity to accept his gift of life. Because let me tell you, when you accept his gift of life, everything begins to change. Everything's not perfect. I'm not saying that. But everything will change for the good. And you'll begin to live a life that you never knew was possible. When you begin not just to accept his gift, but you begin to then follow him with your heart, with your life, and day by step, just one step at a time, God's going to lead you to a place that's so different from where you've been. So today we trade in ourself, but we trade in everything from the past, everything that owned us or we owned, everything that just has held us prisoner to yesterday. I just felt impressed with this earlier this morning, that there's somebody here that needs to lay down yesterday. Lay down that offense. Lay down that. The greatest gift God gave us, he forgave. And God's able to forgive you and give you the ability then to forgive. And when you do that, you're going to be free. I'd like to pray a prayer with you today, if that's you, where you just need the peace Christmas. You need to experience the love of the Father and accept this gift of life. I want to lead you in a prayer today, and here's where we're going to do this. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you, I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. Right where you're seated while eyes are closed, I'd like to pray a prayer right where you're seated. But if that's you, I'd like you to simply slip up a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray, would you include me in that? Would you include me in that? And right now, would you do that right now? If that's you, God bless you over here on my right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Proud of you today. Anyone else? You say, Pastor, when you pray, just pray for me. Just slip up a hand and you put it right back down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, God bless you today. Thank you. Proud of you. Good job. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Yes. Yes, so proud of you. So proud of you. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Yes. All right, right now, let's just together, those that need, have lifted your hands, or perhaps you didn't even lift your hand, but you know you need to pray this prayer. I just invite you to pray this right there in your heart to the Lord. In fact, I'd like to do it this way, just as an encouragement to those that need to pray this prayer. I like everybody, whether you know you're okay or not, I want everybody just to pray this prayer, just as encouragement and support. Let's pray it together. But if you need to really pray this prayer, I want you to pray this from your heart. I'm just going to help you with the words. Okay, it's your prayer. I'm just helping you with the words from your heart. Just communicate this to the Lord. Just simply pray something like this. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus, today I accept your gift. Thank you for coming for me. Thank you for seeing my need and for providing for my need by dying on the cross for me, for paying for all of my debt, all of my inadequacies, all my failures, for all my sin, so I wouldn't have to. I accept your payment for me. And right now, come on, pray this. Right now, I give you my heart. Come on, just say it this way. I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior today.